Thank you, praise team. It's appreciate the praise team here in Ben's absence this morning. We are grateful to you. We also miss Ben and Nick. And Mike, you are, I don't know if you're allowed to say all those things, but anyway, I'm glad that you're here with us. Is it possible that we get caught between the daily struggles of life and the good that God intends for us? We get caught between the daily struggles of life and the good that God intends for us. Our scripture theme verse that we've been looking at these past weeks with this series on the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, it comes from 1 Corinthians 12:7, where it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we could define good and what that all looks like, but the intent there in that verse is that when we care about each other, that's when we're going to experience this common good. God intends for us good for us. He intends to bless us, encourage us, but it often comes in a way that's different than we maybe perceive or expect. Another common scripture that goes along with this statement is Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." And we stop there. And we think, well, all things working together. And then all of a sudden we get into this problem when we face trials and problems in our life, because how is this problem, trial, working out together for good? There's, you know, terrible tragedies that we don't see the good. But the scripture doesn't end there. It continues. It says, "For those who are called according to His purpose." This is about His purpose, the good that's described there in that text. And so God has an intent that is bigger than what we often perceive, what we are often living in and amongst. Maybe it's a good that is, and you know, so you think about people that do crazy things like ride long distances on a bike or running from Minneapolis to Duluth, you know, crazy things like that. Why do people do that? It's not because the experience is so great in and of itself. There's a goal that's bigger. My kids said, "Dad, don't do that." And I said, "I want to be in good shape." They said, "I think there's better ways for you to do that." Well, that's possible. The good, maybe God isn't intending for us to experience a wonderful, easy life, but He has a glory, a good that is beyond what we can see in our simple daily life. So that's what we're looking at as we look at Romans 8:28 and the context thereof. The Romans 8:28, the context of this good that's described is suffering and groaning. So let's look at that text together. Beginning in verse 18, Romans 8:18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't even know what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would apply this word to us. Help us to understand it. Help us to understand how do we go from these groanings of our real life daily struggles to the good and the glory that you have intended for us. Help us to bridge that gap, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse 18, it describes the reality of the sufferings of this present time along with a glory that is to be revealed. There's this gulf that's in between these two, where we live, where we struggle, and what God intends, what his hope for us is. And the groaning causes us to long for the glory that God has intended. So what does that look like? Verse 22 describes, the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So all of creation. There's more than a few people that asked me, how are you doing last week, as I'm limping around church, and I had to say, I'm not doing so well, I'm in a lot of pain. And thankfully, God has made our bodies so that they heal, and so I'm feeling great today, and I don't have to deal with that anymore. I don't have to answer 100 questions about that either. But it's not just our individual pains, the struggles that we face that way, because this started all the way back in Genesis. Chapter 3, Adam and Eve broke the command of God. And in doing so, they broke relationship with God. Not only that, but they set up a rebellion against his authority. And then was introduced the pain of childbirth. The thorns and the thistles of the ground is cursed, there's toil, decay, and death. Oh, may we not think lightly of the consequences of sin. There's no such thing as a small sin, no such thing as a little white lie. We like to categorize sin, that which is benign to anybody else. It just affects me. And it doesn't have any consequences. Oh, it has consequences. It affects all those that are around, because the sinner comes from a family, and that family is affected by what the sinner does. Not only the family, but then also the community or the church that they're a part of. And then that sinner, that family, is that city, is a part of a larger state or community, ultimately a country, ultimately a part of the world. Sin has a consequence. It has an effect. Verse 22 describes this creation groaning in the pains of childbirth. So there was a couple of women that felt they needed to describe to me what that was like. I'm not sure that I needed to understand all of that. But worse than the pain of childbirth is the pain of a child that is brought into a broken family. And now they experience all of the consequences of that which they have been given. Well, it doesn't just happen within some random family. It happened all the way back to our early grandparents. And the effects of what Adam and Eve did is now a bent toward sin within us. A heart that turns away from God, where we desire many things apart from Him. Oh, the groans. The groans of sin that are a part of our lives, they show us our need for God's glory. They point us to Him. Verse 19 describes the visible revealing and the change that takes place. Verse 19 says, "The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the revealing of the children of God, the family of God, those people that have come into that relationship with God." Creation is described as a person here and waiting for that future when everything is going to be restored and everything's brought back to fellowship with God, when the curse is gone. I mean, you can see that in the life of somebody that is come to personal faith, because their life is different. Their personality is different. You can see the change that takes place. Verse 21 says, "The creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption." Oh, what a glorious promise that is. What a glorious day that's going to be. No more hospital visits, no more surgeries, no more body decay. No more Monday mornings, no more longing for the weekend. No more failed exams, no more car wrecks, dental visits, hard labor. No more tears. No more heartache. No more goodbyes. Creation set free from the bondage to corruption. We get a glimpse of that. We can see images of that when in parts of God's creation. And think of the sunrise. If you're up early and you see that glorious sunrise of the clouds and just magnificent. Or sunsets, if you prefer that time of day. But sometimes you have no choice. But you can just see God's majesty as displayed in various ways, whether it's the autumn leaves and the color and the brilliance, or it's the birth of a child holding an infant, the blooming of a flower. There's so many ways that we can see God's greatness. A glory. We can see a glimpse of it, but there's more that will be revealed. Verse 18, it says, "There is a glory that is to be revealed." So we have this revelation study that we're looking at in between the two worship services. And during that, Revelation describes the glory that will be revealed, the new heaven and the new earth. Let me read from Revelation 21. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither will there be mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. I am making all things new.'" That is a day to anticipate. And it even happens in glimpses Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Even for those who are trusting in Christ, we recognize that we're not there yet. We're not in that new Jerusalem. Because regardless of what is happening on the outside, inwardly, there's a war that's taking place, a battle that's going on. Verse 23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. Sin doesn't only affect the outside, but it affects the character, the inner being of a person. And Paul struggled with the same thing that we do. And he just describes it in chapter 7, just a few verses before this. Chapter 7, it says, Paul describes, "I find that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Is it just Paul? No, we're all there. We're all battling this inner conflict, inner turmoil. We have a desire to follow the Spirit and use our spiritual gifts, and yet we're broken. Galatians 5:17 describes the same. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." They're in conflict. "And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And so we groan inwardly. And we see the works of the flesh battling. Sometimes they're outward and they're evident, they're obvious, but sometimes they're subtle. And this describes in Galatians 5:19-20, it describes those, both the outward, obvious, as well as the subtle temptations of our mind and our heart. "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness." Did we miss anybody? I don't think so. Yeah, the battle, the wages inside, it shows up in big ways and little ways. Sometimes this temptation can be subtle, sometimes they're obvious, but regardless, they draw our focus away from God. Addictions might be socially acceptable, but they still have control. Maybe they are even promoted, but they are in charge of you. Oh, for the day when we can be free from the groanings. Verse 24 describes that. "For in this hope we were saved." The word hope is used 5 times in these 2 verses. Hope that we see is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? For what he sees. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Here on this side of eternity, we are waiting, hoping. We hold on to God's promises, and we know that there's more. It's almost this already, but not yet. And Mike brought up the Christmas. I was trying to avoid that thought. But whether it's Christmas or birthday, either way, there's a package that's wrapped, and it's got your name on it. And you know it's there, but you don't have it yet. You don't know what's inside yet. We have, in our family, we have a number of perspectives on birthdays. And Three of them specifically are very excited about Christmas and birthdays and all of that. So one of them likes to buy the gift with the largest box, and so that it looks impressive. Another one is so excited about what's inside the box that they tell the recipient what it is before they open it. And then we have one that just gets so giddy, so excited, even as an adult, jumping up and down at the joy. I'm not like those, but that's part of the groaning. Do we have that anticipation, that excitement, that enthusiasm for God's glory? Have you talked to him recently about it? Have you listened to what he has written to you about that? Does your spirit long to see Jesus? Have you heard someone talk about how they had a personal encounter with Christ? The joy that just bubbles up from within? Oh, I know it's hard to wait. But it's going to be good. Are you ready? Are you anticipating? Are you longing for that? Or are you struggling with the daily challenges that we are in the midst of? How do we bridge this gap between the struggles of daily life and the good and the glory that God has intended for us? Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Praise God. We could stop right there. But it goes on. It describes more. It says, we don't even know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Not only the Spirit of God, but also the will of God. Verse 27, and he, the Spirit, who searches hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God's will, his desire, is for you to be a part of that family, a part of his kingdom. And not only that, then it jumped down a few verses. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then we come to verse 28. And it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Maybe what we need to do is replace that word good with Jesus. In all these, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for Jesus. The outward pain that we face, the decay of our bodies, causes us to look forward to Jesus. There's a coming glory that we hear about. Causes us to look forward to seeing Jesus coming on the clouds. The inward struggle, the battle within, reminds us of our need for his forgiveness. And that anticipation, that hope, that maybe when we hear the knocking, it's Jesus on the other side, waiting to come in, ready to meet you. I don't know where you're at today, but I know the battle between the struggles of daily life and the good and the glory that God has intended for us is real. And he's provided a bridge, three ways actually, The Spirit of God interceding on our behalf, the will of God desiring us to be with Him, and the Son of God who has made the way. So whether you're struggling just in the challenges of life, or whether you are saying, I have never known that good or that glory of God, today's a day. Today's the day. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. We are amazed that you are able to bridge the gap between where we are and where you are. And that you can put within us a spirit that prays, that knows our weakness and prays on our behalf. Oh, Lord, thank you. And that you desire us. That's beyond really what we can even comprehend. You want a relationship. You want us to be your children. And then you provided the way that nothing is going to separate us from you. And that we are even now more than conquerors in Christ. Lord, I pray for those who struggle, you'd bridge that gap on their behalf. And for those who have not known your good and your glory, maybe today, Lord, you would knock on their door, welcome them, that we can all together anticipate what you have in store. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.